Okay, this is Monday, January 26th, and it's questions and answers.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you. I hope that you can acknowledge that for yourself, that you are a radiant being, and let that show through you. There's too many people out there that are just plodding along and not being radiant at all, and not being happy or filled with joy or any of this stuff. Fill yourself with all those things. You know, this is a wonderful experience called life. And I don't know, but I have a sneaking suspicion that it may be the only time we're going to have this experience. We don't know what the next experience is going to be. We're going to continue to have experiences. But this experience that we're having right now, you have to make wonderful. You have to get up every day and say, thank you for life itself. Thank you for this life. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity for me to radiate out through the world. Isn't that wonderful? So, try that. When I use the word radiant beings, I think that's wonderful, and it brings to mind a little story about Queen Elizabeth. She was having lunch with her mother, and she said, I think I'll have a second glass of wine. And the mother looked at her and said, now, Elizabeth, remember, you have to reign the rest of the day. Thank you. You have to rain the rest of the day. Okay. With that, see, that's, isn't it fun to laugh? That's, in this experience, we have to learn to laugh. Laughter, I read years ago, is the closest you'll ever get to God when you laugh. The closest you'll ever get to God when you laugh. So, am I opening it now to questions and answers? So, give me a question.
I have a question.
I will answer. Yes.
When you're in a place of attraction, there are two places you can be. You can either be in a place where you're attracting things to you, or you can be in a place where they're not coming to you very fast. You're repelling them. Is it more important to get to that place of attraction, or is it more important to take actions in when you're not in a place of attraction?
Always take actions and bring yourself into that place. You're the one that's doing it. And it's what is doing it? What is doing everything in your life? Yes, your mind is doing everything. So you have to bring yourself to that place so that you can attract what you want. And you do that attracting by raising your vibration. The vibration that you send out has to match what you are looking for. Now, how do we do that? By constantly reminding ourselves that we have the ability to do that, that we live in a universe that responds to us, that responds to every thought we think. So we then choose the thought we want to think, and we always choose a big thought. You see? A big thought. Does that help you?
And what's the big thought that you're talking about?
Well, a big thought is bigger than the one you have right now. You know, if you want something to go into your life, you have to keep thinking bigger about that. And you have to keep telling yourself that this is absolutely possible, that the universe wants to give me everything. And the universe is pleased to do that for me.
Like I am independently wealthy.
Yes.
Instead of, I would like some more money to pay my debt.
Right. Or I can't afford it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
And how specific would you say we should be with our objective that we're trying to attract?
I think you should be as specific as you possibly can. You just, it's like a paint by numbers painting. You have to paint in every number to see the painting. Mm-hmm. When you want something, you have to paint in everything. And then you let that go, knowing that the universe can do something even better than that for you. But you always have to fill it in. The universe doesn't guess. You fill in in all the details, and the details will come to you.
Sometimes you say something about outlining, though, or something like that.
Oh, I hate that word.
Oh, okay. You don't say that. Okay.
Don't outline. I don't know where that's in. A lot of metaphysicians do that. A lot of churches do that. It drives me absolutely up a wall, and I'll tell you why. Because they don't want you to become too specific. They don't want you to outline something. What outlining means, and if you read Ernest Holmes' book, you will see. You can say, I want a beautiful house, a big house. I want it filled with this, that, and the other thing. But you cannot say, I want the house at 213 Green Street. You cannot do that. Now, one time I was in a class, I may have been teaching the class, in fact, and somebody thought they got what they wanted because somebody died. And they thought that was part of God's action.
That is not
part of God's action. God didn't go around killing people for you to get what you want. Oh my God, I thought, where's that person been? But always be as specific as you can. You're not going to outline it. You see, that get rid of that word outline. And so, because people are afraid of it, they think, oh, now I've done too much of outline, now God won't listen to me. God's always listening to you. Help? Does that help you?
Yes.
Yes, Jerry.
You talk about prosperity a lot.
Yes.
And I read somewhere that prosperity is the ability for your prayers to come true.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the reason why I talk about prosperity so much is because I want prosperity. This class is called Abundance and Prosperity, including money. I want people to have money. Why do I want people to have money? Because then you don't suffer all the nits and fleas of life. Then you don't go out and rob somebody. Then you don't go out, you know, you have to have money in your life. And it has to be freely circulating in your life all the time. And everyone across this planet has the ability. You said that 1% of the people own all the money, which is true at the present moment. But that does not have to be true. We have enough resources and so forth for everyone to have everything. Does that help you? Ooh. So always think prosperous thoughts. Always say, a fortune is coming my way. And it will come.
Before, when you were talking about the when Christine asked about specifics, even though we're like coming up with detailed specifics,
yes,
is it really about the feelings that are associated with those thoughts?
It's always feelings. The life of the organism is feelings. I've said that 100,000 times. The life of the organism is feelings. Everyone thinks it's thought, but thought will get you only so far. When you combine thought and feeling, you'll have a demonstration. You have to combine the two of them. You have to feel. See? And then the other thing I always tell you, which people don't do, as soon as you make a treatment, as soon as you do a treatment, for someone, then you must live at the level of that treatment. I am wealthy. That's a statement. Now you must live like that. People say I'm wealthy, and then they go live in a hovel.
Okay, so I am wealthy.
Yes.
So then what happens? What do you do?
Well, you act like you're wealthy.
Well, how?
And you get rid of... How?
Well, I mean,
you don't know how? You had tons of money.
I did.
Well, then you know how.
But I can't just go get my big house right now. I am wealthy. I'm going to go buy my big house back.
No, but if you keep remembering that you're healthy, your big house will come back to you.
Okay.
Because right now you think I lost the house and I'm not wealthy and I'm not this, even though you make those statements, in the back of your mind you say, well, it's not going to happen ever again. It's always going to happen. You see? We live in a field of total possibilities. Total possibilities. So you can have that. So think of yourself as rich. Think of yourself as all those things. And you did immediately get rid of that word, I can't afford things, and now you realize how that pops up in everyone's conversation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous.
I've always been confused. Which comes first, the thought or the feeling?
Feeling always follows thought. Mm-hmm. You cannot have a feeling unless you have a thought. I'm saying, that's a thought. Now you get a feeling. You can't have a sad feeling without thinking first. So, feeling always follows thought. Can I help you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, when you really center and everything's going just, you're manifesting, everything's correct. I've gotten to two different views on this, different people. And then all of a sudden you become like derailed, or you lose your center or something, whatever. It could be a day, it could be a week, it could be a month, whatever. And then you get back on track. Does it put a blockage to you? Or
universe that never puts a block on you. The universe is running exactly the way it is supposed to run. It's always willing to give you everything, and it's trying to give you everything. When you fall off center, it's because of your thinking.
Correct.
No.
So then when you put yourself back on center,
it comes again.
So there's nothing, you don't have nothing to say in the layman's terms, start over.
Well, no, you don't have to start over. You can never start over. Don't start over. You start from where you are. Oh, so I dropped off the wagon a minute. Now I'm going to jump back on the wagon.
Okay.
That's all. And we all do that, you see. Why do we do that? Because when things are going really swell, what's the first thing that comes up in your mind?
This
isn't going to last forever.
It's too good to be true.
It's too good to be true. You must get rid of those little sayings in your mind. It's absolutely good to have everything. It's absolutely, I'm opening myself to this universe. It's giving me everything.
Yeah, but then there are all these people that it isn't giving everything. And these people don't have access to thinking in a thinking abundance. People that are suffering and poor and homeless and they don't have that ability or knowledge or education.
They
whatever.
Have the ability. They may not have the knowledge. That is why we have classes like this, to give those people a different way to think of things.
Well, what about people like in Africa that are starving and all that? How do you explain all of that?
Well, I can explain all of that, and it's very difficult to explain all that. What happens in Africa is, you see, abundance is always everywhere. There's tons of abundance in Africa. The problem with the African and any countries like that is the distribution.
Distribution.
Food or anything. We send them food. The gangs take it over. Mm-hmm. There's no distribution.
The same thing here.
So the resources
no
are there.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing, just on a different level.
Yeah, just on a different level. Yes. But there's always going to be distribution is the problem. Mm-hmm. the wealth is there, the food is there, the abundance is there, everything is there. It's so not just not getting distributed the way it's supposed to.
Very wealthy content.
Okay. Oh my God! Yes.
Yeah, very rich.
It is.
It's been exploited.
Yeah. And has resources. It has resources galore.
Oh, absolutely. Healthy
energy. Natural resources.
Yeah. Question.
So back to the. So, like, for example, I don't use the word "you can't afford it." I can't afford it or anything. I don't use that. But how? It's still somewhere in the back of my mind. So how do you completely get rid of that?
You may never completely get rid of it, but you have to control it, and you have to say, "Well, that's there, but it is not going to influence me." Everyone thinks there's a background noise going on, and sometimes there is a background noise going on. You can't pay attention to the background. You have to state exactly what you want. And you say to yourself, I understand that there's a background going on, but it's not influencing me, you see? I'm not going to fall for that old trick again of what your mind does to you.
How do we make being centered or having a higher vibration or being happy, how do we make that a default? And the reason I ask that is, like, I find myself, like, being able to, like, to change my thinking and feelings to that, but then, like, I'll just get distracted and I'll get to, like, a not a bad place, but, like, sort of like just a sort of a a neutral place.
You coast.
Yeah.
Default exactly. Position.
Yeah, so how can we
you change that? You have to every moment of your life be grateful, and every moment of your life you must say thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful for all of this. And then you leave yourself open to receive more. But it's always done with gratitude and thanksgiving. You see, you have to be in gratitude and you have to say thank you for what you want, even when you don't see it.
And what's to keep me from slipping back to that coasting?
By noticing and becoming aware that you're doing it.
Okay. So when I find myself coasting, you start becoming grateful and thankful.
Yes.
Okay.
It's always awareness, people. You have to be aware of what you're doing. Remember, do you hear what I hear? You have to hear what your mind is doing. And then you just change that. And we all do that. We all fall into those little things. And we like to coast. But there's no such thing as coasting. This is this teaching is easy, but it's not effortless. It's easy, but it's not effortless. You must put effort into it. You see? That's how you do it, with effort.
And that effort that you're talking about is gratitude and thankfulness?
Yes. And just keep reminding yourself, this is something that I want, this is something that's real, this is something that's absolutely true, you're saying. And we can prove all this. That's why it used to be called religious science, because it was a science. And they've gotten away from that. It. And everyone knows when you say science what that means, right? Mm-hmm. What does it
mean?
It
can be proved.
It can be proved, and it can be repeated.
Yeah.
If I can do it, you have to be able to do it.
Right.
And once you can prove it and repeat it, it becomes a science. And we can do that with this teaching. We can prove this teaching.
How did they change? What's the difference between the science of mind and the religious science? Why are there two names like that?
Well, there's several names. But there are two names. I don't know.
But
the book is called Science of Mind.
But that was the original. Wasn't that the original?
The original was called Ernest Holmes' Science of Mind. Then they had Science of Mind Church. Then they decided they would call it the Christian Science. Now they don't want to do any of that. They want to call them centers and all that kind of stuff. So they just keep changing. It's just a fad and a mode and all. But I will tell you this. All the old teachers were the best. That's true. They were simple, they were down to earth, and they didn't go around Kidney's corn crib to get you someplace. They said, this is the way it's done, do it this way.
You're just talking about the old teachers. How far old back are you talking?
100 years. It keeps getting diluted and diluted and diluted. The last, the two, well, maybe more, but two of the fabulous people in religious science was Robert Bitzer and Raymond Charles Parker.
Power of decision.
Oh, my God. He was something. You know, he was something. He said he read the newspaper every day, the New York Times. He had the New York Church now. And when he was finished reading, he would slap his hand down on the desk and say, not a damn word of truth in it. But if you get his books and so forth and his affirmations, they're fabulous. The other person I always recommend is Florence Shin. And when I knew her, her name was Florence Shin. Now when I say that, everyone's, oh, Shovel. Florence Shovel Shin. It was just Florence Shin at the time. So we have those. And Emmett Fox. But they're the old, you see. They put it in the right way, you know. Now they're modernizing it, and I'm not saying they're wrong in doing that, you see. But they do it differently. We do it differently.
Is there a distinction between gratitude and thankfulness?
Yes. There is a distinction. You're very grateful. You're very grateful. You can be very grateful and not be thankful. So, use them both. Gratitude and thanksgiving.
Say that again, John.
That's a little.
Be grateful, but not
you can be grateful and not thankful for what you have. You have to be always thankful. What should you be thankful? What's the main thing you should be thankful
for? So, what I'm hearing is that being thankful is something you do or say, whereas being grateful is something you feel. And
yes.
Okay.
But what is the greatest thing?
Life. Imagination.
That you should be thankful for.
Your life.
Your life. Your mind or your life. They're the greatest things. And imagination, yes, is one of the things. You must use your imagination.
But just having a superior mind is... I think that would be one of the most important.
Oh, yes. When we say superior mind, I'm...
Over the animals, all the animals.
Well, yes, because we have dominion over everything.
Right. Dominion was the word I was...
Yes. Thinking. Dominion. So always think of that. I have dominion over this. Mm-hmm. Now, you ask me, do I ever get sick? When I feel something coming on, I remember that I have dominion over all those little germs. And if you ever looked at the little germs under a microscope, don't they look like little animals? So he said, oh, I have dominion here. I was given that power. Is that true?
I don't know know if I like the idea of dominion over everything. Like my cat experience, it was sort of scary, really, that I had the choice to have my little kitty cat killed. Killed. You see that word? I don't like that word.
Well, you released it.
Okay,
released that life into a different life.
Yes.
That's all you did is release it.
Yes.
Because when life is no longer pleasurable,
yes,
nature has a way of getting rid of it. And it's called death. You have to remember that, you say.
I know, I've been working on that.
Your cat is absolutely occupied somewhere else. Mm-hmm.
Well, I shared that I treasured that she was a cat in this world.
Yes.
That she got to be in cat form, and then she transitioned and became, yes, whatever it is.
And that's all we're ever dealing with, is forms. And every form that we have, there is God. There is God in every form. Doesn't matter if it's a cow or a horse or a cat, a human. It's just a form we're looking at. But that form is God. So anyway, get back to Thanksgiving. Every day wake up and say, I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful for everything that I have. The more you can be thankful for something, the more you're going to get of that.
Yeah. After what happened to me this week, I was totally grateful. I'm totally thankful. I truly was. And I had to deal with another issue with the affair of the heart. I thought what happened to me would be an epiphany, would change everything. And you know, it didn't. So then I kind of felt almost like, why didn't it? Because there's no reason I should be sitting here. So why didn't that change everything, you know? And for some reason it didn't. I still have this affair with the heart. I still have the heartache going on. I still have the, and you know, was I thankful and grateful at that moment when it happened? Absolutely.
But you have changed.
I don't feel that I've changed.
You're not devastated anymore, are you?
Not so much, no. No.
You have to see the subtleties in life and so forth. Everyone wants an epiphany. For Christ's sake, you're not going to get it.
Well, that was a pretty
few,
that was a great thing.
Very few people are going to get an epiphany. And if you do get an epiphany, they think, oh, now my whole life is going to change. Well, it's not going to change. It's not going to change. But you're going to become wiser.
I almost feel guilty that it didn't. I'm just thinking, oh my God, it should have. If that, it should have changed.
Now, what two things did he just say that we never use? First of all, we don't go for guilt, and we don't should on ourselves, do we?
No.
You think you can define and maybe talk a little bit about mental equilibrium?
Yeah. What would you like me to tell you? Did you listen to that CD? All right, well, that's our friend, and I just think he's a wonderful metaphysician, Emmett Fox. And Emmett Fox came up with that because he worked with electricity and so forth, and he knew perfectly well if you have to find an equivalent for everything, and everything has an equivalent. So much coal will give you so much electricity. It has an equivalent going on. So what you're thinking and what you want, you have to come up with the equivalent for that. Does that help you? Yeah. You come up with that equivalent. That's an easy one. The mental equivalent is quite easy to understand and absolutely to apply, which is my thoughts are going to duplicate themselves in the world. So, if it's not looking right out there, it has to do with your thinking. So you change your thinking, and when you change your thinking, what you see changes.
But you just said, my thoughts are going to duplicate themselves in the world.
Yes.
What do you mean by duplicate themselves? They're just going to be in a different
They're going to come. But
they're going to come exactly, Lord. I said they're just going to. I'm thinking
the
of fasting. It's
going to be happening.
And it's going to happen right there. It's going to duplicate itself. You can't get away. You cannot get away with not thinking. And when you think, you have to know, oh, I'm putting something out there. And is this what I want to put out there? Is this the way I want to see the world? You see? You know that.
I'm a little stuck on dominion over animals.
Oh, dominion.
I kind of feel like I need to respect the animals. Like they're...
Well, having dominion does not mean that you rule the thing. Having dominion does not mean that you kick the animal, that you don't have respect for the animal, that you don't love the animal. Dominion means that you have the power over that. To make that animal happy, feed it, do all those wonderful things for it, you see. I always, with my little dog, I always think, oh, I'm do this for it. Now, what do I think when I'm feeding it and walking it and all that kind of stuff? I'm being so nice and kind to it. I say to myself, I'm acting as God here. And if I'm acting as God to the dog, God is acting on me. You see?
And all animals want is love.
Absolutely. The same way everyone wants love.
Exactly.
And that's what's missing from most of our lives and from the world. Everyone is looking to be loved. Everyone is looking to be recognized. You see?
Well, my, as I've shared, my cat that was put to sleep had a 17-year-old son. She was 18, and the son is 17, and they've been like this for 17 years. The son is mourning.
Yes.
And I wrote my son, my own son, about how much I'm mourning now that the other cat's mourning. And he says, Mom, it's not a human. It doesn't have human emotions, but I don't believe this.
Well,
I
thank
believe
God.
That this
Stop
animal
writing.
Has
Stop writing your
these
thoughts.
Same emotions that I'm having.
You know, there was a book out about animal emotions. It came out a couple of years ago, maybe 5-10 years ago. Somebody discovered, you know, that animals have emotions, and they wrote this book, and I thought, how absolutely damn dumb can they be? I grew up in farm country. We knew every cow, we knew what their personality was, we knew which ones would stay away from, which ones would kick, which ones would do this. All the animals we knew, and we loved all those animals, you see. And animals, they can prove, show feelings and the emotion of grief. They absolutely have that emotion of grief. So you have to keep petting that and talking to your cat.
Yeah. It's a lot of grief. It's going the cat is going through a lot of grief.
Well, yes.
Which okay. was, I wasn't anticipating that.
Yeah. Well, 17 years laying beside somebody, I'm sure you're going to go through grief.
Yeah.
But this, for somebody to say animals don't feel, I could just kill people. Well, oh, geez.
I won't tell my son.
When they say things like that, you know, and I hear people, and here again, growing up on the farm, we always say, oh, they don't feel pain the way you do. I thought, I bet you hit that thing, and it's going to feel pain. No, I think animals are wonderful. We just treat them in abominable way.
And they have a lot of intelligence, like the migrating animals,
yes.
the birds. And
they have every, yes.
I mean, we don't do that.
No.
As well as they do.
And they're finding out more and more about animals. One day they'll talk to us, and the thing that they will say is, why? Why did you do this to us?
Absolutely. Really.
And humans are so funny. I watched a program on dogs, and people who get all these dogs, and then they bring them back. And they put them in the pound because they didn't know it was going to grow up. They didn't know this. They couldn't take care of them. But here's the thing. 5 million go back every year. And they kill 4 million. Because they don't know what to do with them. I think that's horrendous. I think it's awful. And it's not good for our consciousness. It's not good for human beings. Mm-hmm. You have to be loving to those animals.
So the solution is education?
The solution is always going to be education. The solution is to get rid of all these breeding farms, mm-hmm. Puppy mills, and all that kind of stuff. And teach people that animals absolutely have feelings. Christ, they have a life. You know?
Wonder if they have a grief cycle like we do.
What, a grief
cycle? A grief cycle, like...
Well, of course they do. That's why you have to help that cat.
They get healing, you know, saying.
Yeah, and I think animals understand. If you hold a cat and tell them what happened and all, you know, it'll sink in. They just can't talk, but they certainly pick up our thoughts and they pick up
everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about getting another cat?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Yes.
After we both grieve and the other one. Yeah.
Well, don't grieve too long. It's unnecessary.
I sort of feel like it's out of my control. Well, it's like you said, is it the thought and the feeling, or the feeling comes?
Yes. See, I was never a fan of Ross, Kugler Ross. Remember her?
Yes, I do.
The thing of grieving, or what was
her? Five stages of grief.
Five stages of grief. I never.
Five stages of grief, yeah.
Yeah, she had that. Kugler Ross was her name. I think she's dead now.
I'm not sure she is. She's quite old if she's
still. Well, she must be in the hundreds.
Yeah, she is. No.
But I never believed that. Now, that's the first stage. That's the second. You know, you have to go through all these stages. Why?
I know. And then you kind of get through one, and then sometimes you slip back into the second one, but then you jump down to the fourth, and on it goes.
I know. I don't step around like that. See, I have anybody that tells me you're at level one, mm-hmm. or you're at step one, or this app, I leave. I say no.
Is she collecting money for these steps?
Yes, of course.
She made a lot of money.
She was quite
concept.
Well. She was quite popular at one time. Seminars every which way.
Oh, absolutely.
So. But I don't believe any of that stuff. And I do believe in grief. But I don't believe it has to go on forever. And I don't believe it goes through steps, you see. That's just something the humans make up.
I found it comes in waves.
That's waves is a good the way I like this.
Oh, yes, of course grief comes in waves. But everything you think about comes in waves. Do I have to separate the two of you? Anybody else? Any questions? I can do one more.
What about... I'll sort of broach this topic because I'll just talk about heartache. When you're dealing with manifesting where other people are involved, like you know, it would be lovely to be in a relationship, but at the same time, like, I really love having my own space. Yeah, so it's like there's sort of that yin yang of or you know.
There's always going to be that yin yang, that pull.
How do you rise above that for manifestation? Like how do you settle
have a
that?
A man cave.
Yeah, you go to your own
place to escape.
Right.
Well, I mean, that was one example, but I mean, there are many issues.
Or you have a very large home, like the king and queen. he's in one end of that palace, she's at the other. They're not bothering each other. They may meet in the middle for lunch or something, though. The rest of them, they're off on their own.
Yeah, maybe he's manifesting somebody to come into his life that really isn't manifesting.
A house divided will not stand. And you divided your house. You want a relationship, but you like your time alone. So you have to figure those two out.
That's what I'm asking. How do you resolve that? What's it called in accounting?
Balance. Well, you have to figure that out, how to balance it. Which one do you want more? Then can you make a different type? See, everyone looks at these relationships like they're all the same. No relationship is the same. You have the dynamics of every relationship's change. You can say if you're in a, with whoever you want to go with or something, you know, I like a lot of time to myself. And maybe she'll say, oh, I like that too. Now you have something to say, okay, so I'll only be with you 3 days a week or whatever. You make your relationships up, people. Don't think or read those damn books that tell you how to do a relationship. They're not going to work.
Forget it.
Forever. That's so stupid, isn't
it? It is really.
That's true. You have to work it out.
Yeah, you have to work it out. Communication, communication, communication. And to have enough self-love to say to the person, this is what I want. And be able to ask for what you want. Most relationships go down the tubes because the people cannot ask for what they want. And they're waiting for the other person to give them something. The other person's not going to give you anything if you don't ask or tell them what you want. Doesn't work. All those books that people read, and you know, the one about this, that, and the other thing. It's an individual thing. Each relationship, you have to do it yourself. I don't care. Most people pattern the relationships that they're in on their parents' relationship, and you know damn well most of those did not work.
Yeah, but a lot of people pattern them. This is what I don't want, based on their parents.
Yes, but they always wind up doing exactly when you don't want something that your parents have, you'll get it.
Kind of.
The same way do they.
Yeah. Pretty much right.
I hate my mother, and then you turn into your
That's
mother.
That's right.
I'm never going to be like my mother. You turn right into it. Yeah. Never even say that kind of stuff. But relationships are individual things. They're God-given, wonderful things. But you have to do each one individually. And you have to keep communication going all the time. When communication stops in any relationship, the relationship becomes stagnant. And when something becomes stagnant, what does it do? It starts to smell. The secret to any good relationship is communicating. Saying, this is what I want. This is what I want. Now, in closing, I'm going to say one big thing here about this idea. In a relationship, you have to be able to ask for what you want. And as I said before, most relationships fall apart because people do not ask for what they want. They expect the other person to be able to have a mind reading. When I say you must ask for what you want, that also includes you must be able to ask for what you want in bed. Most people cannot do that. And the relationship goes down the tubes. Well, he should have known what I wanted. Didn't know what you want, you have to tell them. So keep that one in the top of your mind. You have to, when you're really free, when you really love yourself, you have to be able to tell people this is what I want in bed. Simple as that. But we have all those hang-ups, don't we? Are there any other wonderful questions after that one? Okay. So, ask for what you want. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.